How's everybody doing? Good. I'm doing great. Came back from McCook, Nebraska. Diana's old stomping grounds. Like I said before, it's always good to be able to get on the road after a few wins and everything. So they're, 11-0 now? Good deal. Now they got to go to Seward Tuesday night. They're pretty tough. Would you guys mind, ushers, can you bring this table down for me? I mean, I can do it, but I'm learning to delegate. And by the way, were you reminding me? Trina, where you at? Thank you for all the decorations and stuff. That's awesome. She comes out and... Sure, yeah. Comes out and does that on her own time and everything. And, you know, she got the buffalo plaid going on, which is Sandy's favorite and all, Kristen's favorite as well. We got kind of like the same decorations at home, so I get to see it twice. But it's a good thing. Do we have all the leaders fill that stuff out? No? FCF did a toxic leadership ordeal, and so that I had to self-evaluate, which, I mean, honestly, I self-evaluate, self-examine myself. You can bring them up. Maybe once every 10 days. So there's already, like, little corrections that I make within my life all the time. And then give it to your leaders. Man, that's a lot of paper there. So my wife came in, Kristen came in and said, do I have to fill one of these out? I said, yeah. I said, no, actually you don't have to fill one out. She goes, I'm going to put my name on it and everything. She's going to make sure. Now I put my kid's name on there so I know I can get them later on, but it's also good. It's always good. I mean, I just believe that the Lord has taken me through taking us through a season of correction. That's the title of my message. This is the fourth part of this series, is a season of correction. And we all need course corrections in our life, but it just keeps coming back. Some people might think it's stuck, but it's not really stuck because I already had a different message planned. But it just keeps coming back to this. Why? It's not because it's stuck. It's because it's what the Lord has put on my heart. I have my message throughout the week. Next week, I'm preaching on the triumphant church. I'm going to use some of Brother Hagin's stuff, if it's okay. But if there's course correction, if the Lord says, it, all right, now this is what I want you to do, I got to obey. I have to obey. I want to obey. I want to, every single day I'm working on hearing from the voice of God. There are times when in my life where I still DoorDash every now and then. And the only reason why I do it is because I send T extra money for school and TJ as well, too. And so, I mean, I don't have to do that, but I like to send him a little extra money because she's honor roll, playing sports. That's a full-time job as well. So she doesn't have to do that. She can just relax and stuff like that. So she goes. And then there's times when the Lord says, stop. Hang it up. I said, but it's very busy right now. You know how many deliveries that I can do? Stop. I said, so I have to listen to that. Just the little things that I have to make these corrections in and just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing. Am I 100% on that? No. But I'm willing to miss it by trying to listen to Him as opposed to just listening to everybody else telling me a different direction and stuff like that. So it's you gotta stay focused on what He's leading you to do and what He's telling you to do. If you got your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy 3:16, the New Living Translation. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Huh. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every evil work. Are you sure? Does that say good or evil? I said, so this is why there's a season of correction, because if we're doing evil work, then clearly we're not allowing the Word of God to correct us in the right direction. It teaches us what is wrong and how to make adjustments in our life. We all need adjustments. There's one time, I mean, I'm talking about a big fail. Our lock-ins in youth ministry, we did our lock-ins. And there are times, what I've learned in youth ministry is, you in a small town, you can't do exactly what big town ministries do. And then we can't, I mean, we try to duplicate 180 and everything I said, but they're on a bigger scale. They have to deal with a whole lot more in every which way. And what I've learned is that you can take what it is, and if it doesn't work, then I have to sit there and then begin to dissect. Okay, that didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. All right, let's try this. Then it worked. All right, great. Our first lock-in was on New Year's Eve. Then I realized some of the people like to hang out with their friends on New Year's Eve. And we had all the workers here. It's like, so we scaled it back and then we did it on a different night within December and every which way. So we're working on that. Then there's times when I used the college students. They were emceeing everything. Y'all remember Vernon? Timmy and Josh. I allowed them to do all that stuff because I learned. I wasn't very good at emceeing at that time. I was still really kind of introverted in every which way. I wasn't as funny then as I am now. But I allowed them to do those types of things. And I'm talking about, there was one time, and I was trying to get some input from Isaiah yesterday and to see if he remembered this. I said, but there was one time we did like, we couldn't reach past 100. It was like 95, 98, 97, and then one, I'm just giving it to God, whatever. Boom, 148. All right. Next year, almost 300, about 250 to 300 students at the fairgrounds. It was a little small town. Then the next year, I was anticipating it because it was their senior year. They had a great class in every which way. And I'm saying, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do two nights. One for middle school on Friday night, then one for high schoolers on Saturday night. We had about 70 middle schoolers, had three baptisms. It was a great night. High school come, oh yeah, this ready. And we get about two or three trickle in. And then our workers, the high school workers. What happened? There was a big party that night. If I would have did it one night, I think a whole lot of people would have came. But it was a big dud. I had to take that L. But we salvaged the night by taking all the leaders and everybody was there. We went to a movie. I think we went and watched Woodlawn. Paid for their snacks and stuff like that. But never again. You learn from your mistakes. And the thing is that I learn from my mistakes in everything that I do. I just don't make it a big scene. Some people like to make it a big scene. You know, if it's my testimony, I'm going to hold the copyrights to it until the Lord gives me time to share it. I think everybody should be that way. Well, there's some people that just want to do away with you and try to take what you say and make it out to be worse than what it is. I said, yeah, they can, but they're going to do it after the fact that I've shared it from my heart. Not trying to probe me for information. That's when I keep my mouth shut. Because I learn. You make mistake, you learn. You grow from it. So the purpose of the inspired word is teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training up in righteousness so that God's children will do every evil work. If I say something wrong, correct me. Every evil work, good work, good work. There we go. So I believe that God is taking us through a season of correction. I don't understand why it keeps coming back to this, but it just does. Proverbs 12:1 says this. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. To learn, you must love discipline. Proverbs 15:10 says this, whoever abandons the right path will be severely disciplined. Whoever hates correction will die. Correction's a good thing. Proverbs 15:32 says, if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. If you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. And the last one I want to get is Proverbs 10:17. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. I love correction. What I hate is being falsely accused. What I hate is false narratives being put out and then you having to submit to it. Because that's one of my principles that I live by. I will never submit to a false narrative about myself. You can try, but I won't submit to it. I want to grow. I want to learn. So it's not doing me any good for somebody to lie or embellish or say a jacked up story and then try to get somebody to correct. And it doesn't have anything to do with you in that season or whatever because you never did it. I know what I say. I know who I say it to. I know what I do. And I know why I did it. I like to give out polls. P-O-L-L-S. Not Christmas polls or Festivus polls or anything like that. I like to do my own surveys sometimes. And sometimes I like to see how people actually correct. Can they correct me? So I'll say something intentionally just to see if they can correct. And 9 times out of 10... they don't say anything. Certain people, not y'all, nobody in here. Don't, did I pass the test? No, I'm not. I said, but this is certain people. I said, and 9 times out of 10, they don't. What they end up doing, going to somebody else. I said, if you're a leader, if you're a minister, why can't you correct me if I said something wrong? What do they do? Take it, embellish it, make it out to be something that it's not. And then I get the correction and it has nothing to do with what I said. That's not assumptions. That's the truth. When it's done with intentionality, that's the truth. The other things that I live by, won't lie, never lie. I can't lie. I'm not saying I can, but I choose not to. I try to do it with my wife. She goes, stop lying. Like joking wise, she can catch it just like that. I'm horrible at it. You got to manage that. No one in here can sit there and say, well, Pastor Tim told me to lie. I said, I never use anyone for a lie. I will never have anyone lie for me. I will never lie for anyone else. Some people can't accept that. I won't do it. I'll never submit to a false narrative. And the last one is I will not ever be controlled, manipulated, intimidated, or dominated. I will not allow it. Because all of that stuff is allowed. Control is allowed in your life. And when you allow people to control you in order to destroy you, they don't understand is that they're in straight rebellion against God. James 4:7, I talked about it before. It says, therefore, submit yourself to God. He's talking about the one who's trying to control, destroy, plot, and do evil. When you submit yourself to God, you won't want to do that to your brother. We're going to take communion today. And we talk about discerning the Lord's body. You are the body. We're supposed to walk in love. Jesus loved Judas to the very end. I've shared that before in our communion. Love him to the very end. That's how we're supposed to love. Do I always do that to the full extent? No. But I've never cut anybody out of my life. I was close. But I've never ever can say that I've ever cut anyone out of my life. Now, if they did to me, I don't know. But I've never cut anyone out of my life. And you say, you shouldn't be saying never or always. I said, I can literally say I've never cut in. I've never got to that place of anger. Even if I beat you up or something, I still like you. Because I know I can beat you up now. What's not to like? No, I'm not a bully. I really am. But that's the thing. You know, I've never done that before. When you correct anyone, it's important to make sure you're not going off of hearsay or assumptions or what the enemy likes to do, imply that they actually did it. If you didn't hear it yourself, let it go. When people come to me and they say, seriously, this is how I unsubscribe to the National Enquirer, to the gossip, to the slander, whatever. This is how I unsubscribe. When they tell me something about another individual, We can talk it out, what have you, but it stays right there. I don't take it anywhere else. I don't go to that individual. I don't even imply that they did it. Because if they actually want to tell me, I'm going to give them full rein of their own testimony to be able to share it. But here's the thing. I will ask direct questions. Not to make you feel uncomfortable, but to find out if it was actually true or not. And that's after the fact that the Lord has put on my heart to go ask. Other than that, I don't. I want to get to the place when somebody says something about me, I want to call them up and say, well, let's just see about that. Do they know you said that? Well, I'm going to call up Pastor Tim. I heard Pastor Tim was doing this. He was doing that in every which way. Well, let's call him up. What are you going to call him up for? Well, find out what you just said. We're just going to do that. So you don't have to go around trying to act like you ain't never said it. Call him out right there. Oh, I said, guess what? You won't get that magazine at your doorstep anymore. They won't come talking to you anymore about it. Call them out. Because the enemy does not like the truth. He hates it. So he likes being able to maneuver and manipulate, work behind the scenes, talk to this person here, whisper that person there, do this here, and start planting little things. Well, just let them. I said, I do. I can't control what people say. But I have to be obedient to what the Lord is telling me. As Andrew Womack says, if this rubs you the wrong way, just repent, turn around. The enemy loves to rehearse stories on how to deceive people. Unfortunately, he uses others to plant that type of stuff in them. So be watchful, be mindful of who you hang around with and who you talk to. That's important. You mean to tell me we can't? I'm not saying that. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you over something, that's when you do it. I can't control what you say. Will you still love me? Absolutely. Do you still love me? Come on. See, Jesus even told his disciples to be on the lookout for the yeast of the Pharisees. There's a time when I took my trip to Iowa, went to go watch my nephew play. Me and Isaiah went, and then Kristen and Tessiah and our friend at the time came to Kansas City. Wasn't he there with you, Peyton? Yeah. I dropped Isaiah off. She just wiped it out, which is good. He's a good young man, but dropped him off, went to St. Louis, stayed the night there. Went to Memphis, took that tour of the museum, National Civil Rights Museum, and ate some blues barbecue right around the corner, or some type of barbecue around the corner. And went and filled up out of town, like kind of outside of Memphis. You don't want to stop. I looked on B.B. King Drive right there, Dot. Didn't look like a safe place. So I filled up and I get back on the interstate and I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, you need to start speaking up because there are men lying on you. And the words that I give you to say will refute every tongue that rises up against you. So when I tell you to speak, speak. You mean to tell me you write all the time? No. No. I said, there are men lying. When somebody lies, they're not telling the truth, and you have the truth, you can refute. I don't go around, well, and just picking an argument with Richard just for argument's sake, just so I can be right all the time. I don't pick fights. But people try to do it with me. And I'll get right every single time. Not assumptions. They're right. Because after the third or fourth time, I can start picking it off. So when the Lord said speak, and when I came back, he said speak up. There was somebody saying something. He said, speak up. As soon as I spoke up and got done with it, someone else chimed in and boom, found out who was lying on me. That quick. Now, what did you do? Well, I throat punched him. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. You still got to walk in love with them. They just got caught. Now, if they want to go behind the scenes and then smooth out the story in every which way, that's their prerogative. But the Lord showed me. So you can say, people can lie all the time, you just don't have to believe it. You don't have to subscribe to it. You might get some junk mail every now and then. But here's the thing, what you do, I say, I don't know who people who keep all that stuff, but most of the time we just throw it away. Subscribe to the news, the good news of the gospel. I'm telling you, that's going to help you. You know, Jesus, he corrected and rebuked his disciples. He corrected them. There was a time when they couldn't cast out the demon in the young boy, even after he had given them authority to go out and do all that stuff. They came back and said, the father came to him, and of course, can you help my son? I said, we took him to your disciples, and they couldn't cast him out. And of course, Jesus did what he do. Healed the young boy. Then afterwards, his disciple says, now why couldn't we cast him out? And he said it was because of your unbelief. He didn't sugarcoat it. Sugarcoating doesn't help you. See, when you want to help someone, you tell them the truth. But when you want to help yourself, you tell them what you want them to know. I'll tell you the truth. You know why? Because I love you. I think I talked about years ago, a spoonful of sugar. Some people want a spoonful of sugar with the truth. I'm going to give you the truth. Then there was another time when Jesus' purpose, Peter was rebuked because he was trying to stop the purpose on God's life, on Jesus' life. He was rebuked. Remember what he said? If you're trying to stop anyone's call in your life, I'm just talking about brother-wise, what have you. You're trying to stop the vision and the purpose of what God has called them to do. You got the right to rebuke them. Now, they just may go around playing the victim. But you got the right to rebuke them or ignore them, not listen to them, take authority over it, whatever the case may be, because they're trying to stop you from what God has called you to do. Peter was trying to stop Jesus. You have that right. And if they go and lie on you, so be it. God knows. You know. That's all that matters. You don't have to go and convince everybody else. The liar will always have false witnesses to roll with them. Remember in the council? When Jesus came in the middle of the night, they got that trial. Then they went around searching around to get out for, you know, witnesses that will lie on him. Then they found two. And then they lied right to his face. But here's the council. As evil as they were, they still ask him, do you have anything to say about this? You realize that I don't even get that. If we're going to judge, and if we judge righteously, let us do it. I mean, some people like to take the judge, the jury, and everybody else in the courtroom, and then tell their side of the story, present their evidence, bring out their false witnesses, and then they try to hand down a verdict without the defendant and the defender, which is Jesus, being there. That's an unrighteous decision. That's an unholy decision. That's an unhealthy decision. That's a toxic environment there. And we don't want to create toxic environments because, and here's the thing, because toxic leaders will produce toxic followers. Jesus didn't produce Judas. Some of you are trying to figure out why I'm slurring. When I was biting into a rib, my tooth got loose. So I don't want to Van Crouch it and send my tooth flying at you. So I got to get it fixed. So that's the reason why. It ain't anything else. All right, Jason, it wasn't that funny. Good. He's about to fall out. Where was I? Correction is taking that negative thing and showing you what is right. So the imply means to express indifferently, indirectly, sorry. Imply means, from the Merriam-Webster dictionary, means to express indirectly. When the father corrects, he expresses it directly. But when the enemy corrects or tries to correct, it'll do it indirectly. Because he doesn't know for sure if you actually did it or not. They're just trying to fish for something. They're trying to get you to admit to something that you didn't do. The father knows for sure and he shows what is right. The enemy will imply all the time. Jesus didn't share everything with his disciples, whether his disciples believed it or not. He didn't share everything with his disciples. In Mark chapter 9, you got that? He held some of it, withheld it. Jesus went on to say, I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God arrive in great power. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed. And his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He said this because he didn't really know what to say, for they were all terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and only Jesus was with them. And as they went back down to the mountain, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept it to themselves, but they often asked each other what he meant by rising from the dead. He withheld some information, some of his purpose, some of his glory from the other disciples. And I believe because of Judas. Because Judas, if we just saw that, this is just my opinion. And I know we shouldn't be preaching our opinion, but forgive me for this. But I just believe if he would have told the Pharisees, then the Pharisees would have stopped plotting. Jesus, they would have tried to stop what Jesus was doing, what he came to do, which was to die for mankind. Don't tell them until I've risen from the dead. See, there's a purpose that we all have. But if people are trying to cut in what we're doing, What did we say? What happened to Peter? How was he rebuked? Come on. Get behind me. If you're not going to roll with me, get behind me. That's what you say. We can all say that. And it doesn't mean you're out of line. It does not. It was Jesus' destiny to die on the cross for all of mankind. He didn't want anyone interfering with his purpose. So don't go around. We shouldn't go around playing the victim. And if people don't like that and how you respond to them, you know what they can do? Kick rocks. So you don't allow anyone to stop you from your purpose, from your destiny, from your call. Just a show of hands. Here's a poll that I'm going to take. If someone that the Lord has showed you is trying to destroy your life and ruin your life with the information that you get, so they're constantly sending people to get information from you, how many of you would actually give them that information? Just show of hands. Not one person? Not one. Scripture says in Proverbs 2:11, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. So you don't go blabbing, telling your business to everyone. People know that. But the enemy just loves to get information from you just so he can try and destroy you. If that's what they're called to do, so be it. That's between them and God. But here's the thing. I'm going to make it hard on you. The thing about when you're dealing with people who might be narcissistic or just operating in that Jezebel spirit is that they have to have your data. They have to have your information. So they don't care what they do in order to get it from you. They don't care. They don't care how they do it. They don't care who they use in order to get it. They have to do it. And their main purpose, part of their main purpose is to isolate you. Well, the joke's on them. I'm introverted. I don't have to be around everybody all the time. You just strengthen me. Because my hope is in God. It's not in the information. My hope is in God. And the thing about it is that every false accusation that they may put on you is actually a confession of them. So when they're blabbing about you and saying certain things about you behind your back, they like to do this. It's really them that's doing it, and they got away with it. And they're confessing it. So I love this toxic leadership deal here, because it helps me to see what's going on. So I'm going to do mine first. I did my self-evaluation. Here's the first one. It says, is your way the right way? I put no. And the reason why I put no is because when I do something, or if it's a project or what have you, I believe it's the Lord telling me how to do it. So if someone came and told me a different story, different way to do it, I have to go with what he's saying. Now, do I always take other people's opinion? No. But sometimes I do. So that could be a yes and a no. But when I built the stage out here in a R3 room, I wanted to, the way that I seen it was basically I wanted to put a porch. It was going to look like a old country, you know, Midwestern type porch with a roof, you know, hanging down. And Pastor West was like, well, you don't have to do all that. I wanted to put the porch down with, you know, plywood and, you know, and stuff, make it all rickety and stuff like that. You know, just the barn wood and things of that nature. That's like, but we didn't go that route. So we changed it up. Glad we didn't, because I think it turned out great. The second one, do you cover up your weaknesses or have no weaknesses at all? No, I do not. I have a lot of weaknesses. One of them is I can't stop talking about throat punching people. Me and Brandon talked about this. The throat punch preacher. I have a lot of weaknesses. Speaking is one of my weaknesses. Do you have a high leadership turnover rate? That could be a yes or no. I know, Mark, no, because in you're doing R3 and you're using college students, they leave after you're done. After they serve their 4 years, they end up going and moving to another place. I said, but if you looked at our youth, Isaiah's doing our youth. He came up through our R3. Trey is our children's church pastor. He came up through R3, got born again at one of our lock-ins. Madison is leading worship. She came up through R3. Then you have Cass, and you have Ethan, and you have Devin that has come. I was like, so I don't think we have a high turnover rate in that sense. Do you speak the most in meetings? Haven't really had a meeting. But we do have our Wednesday night Bible study. Now, you all can answer this. I said, you know, do I speak the most in our Wednesday night meetings? I allow everyone to share. I like to hear from you. Are you surrounded by yes people? I put no. There's a few times where Brandon had to put it on me. No, it's fine. Nah. But, I mean, he shows me his heart. I don't believe I'm surrounded by yes people. Even when I'm trying to get Isaiah to do something, he's like, nah. I was like, I wanted to put, you know, connecting real people into real relationships while serving the real one, Jesus, on his wall here. He goes, that sounds like a job. He goes, Connor and Nicole, I said, they're over college. I was like, that's right. They're over college. I was hoping they can get some of the college students and stuff. I was like, yeah, he's over the youth. He's like, nah, you can ask Connor. So Connor, we may be asking you. Do you mostly focus on a negative? This one I put yes and no. But we talked about the correction part. I don't focus on a negative all the time in my life, but I said, but it seems like as if I'm focusing on the negative as far as preaching and things of that nature, I hope I don't. But if I do, then so be it. We'll see from all these other ones. Do you blame others for mistakes? No. I can own up to my mistakes. I can't own up to what other people say about me if I've never even heard it. If I made a mistake, why can't you come to me? But if I did make a mistake that you didn't see or what have you, why are you saying it? So I don't believe I blame others for mistakes. I can own up to my own mistakes. Are you a knowledge or vision hoarder? Yes and no. I have a vision that I have for this church, and I share that with Cello, and I haven't shared it with you all. But it's not fully clear yet. One of them is that I want to help single mothers. Maybe somebody can run with this. But maybe we can figure out a way in the summer to help alleviate some of the stress that they go through with leaving their children at home. How can we operate a daycare or what have you and then teach them it for free? Because their money is going to certain expenses and everything else, and how can we help them to get ahead? How can we help them to set up a budget so that they have a plan to get out of there, not just stay there for the rest of their life? Not just single mothers, single fathers. And then there was also this thing that I seen on YouTube. It was called a tiny home project where they did, you know, to help people to get back on track and in life. And it was basically, you know, for every square foot, it was a dollar. So if it was like a $500 square foot home, it was $500 a month for rent. And then they did that for 7 years, and then they were able to use that money to purchase a big home as a down payment, to purchase a home. So, I mean, that's kind of been on my heart. It's just that I haven't found a way to express that yet. Till now. So if you have any resources or what have you, knowledge on that, maybe we can do something. Do you often look for winners and losers? No, I believe that God can work through anyone. I've often talked about this. I mean, if you were the least popular person in the world, you're a prime candidate for operating in the kingdom, working in the kingdom. Do you minimize others' talents for fear it may overshadow you? No, I do not. Do you avoid hearing the truth or facts so it doesn't cloud your faith? No, I do not. I would love to hear the truth. I would love to hear the facts. I want to learn. I want to grow. Point blank. Just don't tell a lie and then try to call it truth and facts, because then I won't accept it. All right. Now we're going to go through all of these. Right here. This is our leadership questionnaires. And I see that y'all didn't put your name on them. I was hoping someone would slip up. No. I said, they said yes to, do you feel heard when you are speaking? Okay. Do you believe your talents are recognized and appreciated? Yes. Do you feel drained or depleted after being your leader, being with your leader? No. Is your leader's way the only right way? No. Does your leader cover up their weaknesses? No. Does your leader have high leadership turnover rate? No. Does your leader speak the most in meetings? No. Is your leader surrounded by yes people? No. Does your leader focus mostly on the negative? No. Does your leader blame others for their mistakes? No. Is your leader a knowledge or vision hoarder? No. Okay. I want to see what there's. Okay, there's one. I say, is your leader way the only way? No. Does your leader cover up their weaknesses? No. Does a leader speak the most in meetings? Yes. Do you feel heard when you are speaking? Yes. Do you believe your talents are recognized and appreciated? Yes. Okay. Put that there. And we'll check out their penmanship later. I'm going to have you sign some things. That's fine. Make me an X. That's Do you feel heard when you are speaking? Okay, we're just going to bypass. Do your leader speak most of the meetings? I said those, yes. Everyone is kind of like the same. Just going to go through it. I want y'all to be honest. This one was erased. Is your leader surrounded by yes people? They erased it, and then they didn't even put no on there. So maybe that just might be a light yes. Yeah, that's a yes on that one. Is your leader surrounded by yes people? Okay, yes. Does your leader speak most in meetings? Yes. This one has a lot of yeses. Is your leader's way the only right way? They put yes. Does your leader cover up their weaknesses or have no weaknesses at all? Yes. Does your leader have a high Leadership turnover rate, yes. Does your leader speak the most in meetings? Yes. Is your leader surrounded by yes people? Yes. Does your leader focus mostly on the negative? No. Does your leader blame others for their mistakes? No. Is your leader a knowledge or vision hoarder? Yes. Do you feel heard when you're speaking? Yes. Do you believe your talents are recognized and appreciated? Yes. Do you feel drained or depleted after being with your leader? No. Ones I'm saving, I'm serious. I'm coming after you. No, sorry. Whoa. All yeses. Is your leader's way the only way? Yes. Does your leader cover up their weaknesses or have no weaknesses at all? Yes. Does your leader have a high leadership turnover rate? Yes. Does your leader speak the most in meetings? Yes. Is your leader surrounded by yes people? Yes. Does your leader focus mostly on the negative? Yes. Does your leader blame others for their mistakes? Yes. Is your leader a knowledge or vision hoarder? Yes. Do you feel heard when you are speaking? Yes. I don't know how you can do that. That would be a no. Do you believe your talents are recognized and appreciated? Yes. Do you feel drained or depleted after being with your leader? Yes. Well, thank you for that. Lie. That's one. Let's see if we can get another one. Okay, this one says, do you speak most in your meetings? Yes. Are you surrounded by yes people? Yes. Do you feel heard when you're speaking? Yes. Do you believe your talents are recognized? Yes. Most of them are pretty much the same. This one's the same thing. You speak most in meetings and surrounded by yes people? Yes. Pretty much the same. See if we can find another one. Same. Basically, you speak most in the meetings. Yes. Speak most in meetings. Yes. Your knowledge of vision hoarder. Yes. Do you feel heard when you're speaking? Yes. Do you believe your talents are recognized? Yes. Do you feel drained or depleted? No. We're going to go through all these. Does your leader speak the most in meetings? Yes. If your leader is surrounded by yes people, yes. Do you feel heard when you're speaking? Yes. And yes, yes. Are your leaders surrounded by yes people? Yes. All those people that are surrounding me are going to get upset with y'all. That's why. Does your leader, I said same things. Does your leader speak most in the meetings? Yes. Surrounded by yes people? Yes. Feel heard when you're speaking? Yes. Same. I like all these. I think they're really good. Thank you for being honest, if you were honest, except for this one person here. This one put question marks. Does your leader have a high leadership turnover rate? Question mark. Does your leader speak the most in meetings? Question mark. Is your leader surrounded by yes people? Question mark. Does your leader focus mostly on the negative? No. For her, when you were speaking, yes. Do you believe your talents are recognized? Yes. Appreciate it. This one drew a line in it. That one's good. This one has a little cat doodle. No, I'm just lying. And I think they're all the same. So most of the time, I think overall ratings, I think people believe that I speak the most in meetings, and I am surrounded by yes people. So we'll work on that. Thank you for your filling this out. Yes, sir.
That gets me when they people say, "Will your leader speak the most in meetings?" If you're the MC, you're naturally going to speak the most. You can ask people for their opinion.
Yeah.
And some people can sit for 5 minutes and talk about their opinion.
Anita, you're great. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I mean, they want everybody. I said the way that this thing is set up that I'm going to implement, because I've been told in wait until a year until you implement this maximum CEO thing with Dean Radke and stuff. And it's basically it's to take more pressure off of me so that the leaders go out and run with the vision. So that's what I'm working on right now. So That's the whole part. So it's not just me speaking all the time. It's everyone else that if there's going to be like five leadership heads, they're going to be pushing the vision out and making sure that everyone's being discipled, that sort of thing. So that's, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I don't take offense to that. I don't have a fragile ego. I'm good. I grew up with five brothers. We went at each other all the time. So I'm good. But thank you for that. I appreciate that, Randy. So, Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, which is new every day. And Father God, that we are in that season of correction. And there's times I need it, Lord. And there's times we all need it. So we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, which are new every single day, Lord. And help us to focus on what you've called us to do and where you're taking us, Lord. And help us to get the boldness to be able to say just no thank you to the things that just might stop at our doorstep, Lord. And have some people unsubscribe to some things because they truly need it in their life. And Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.